And welcome to the Sportscast, December 26, 2018. Happy Boxing Day for the people that celebrate Boxing Day, and it's probably only in the UK, but we do have listeners in the UK. And if you are listening to this and watching this, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously in their search engines. This week is Christmas and also New Year's Eve. But also in the world of sports, it's a lot going on. NFL is definitely, you know, gearing towards the playoffs. A few teams are trying to vie in those last spots. And, of course, we have the college football bowls, the college football playoffs. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about what's going to happen this weekend is Ryan Krista. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, San Diego. It's definitely a busy time in the world of sports, especially in college football. I mean, NFL, it's a great time of year.
So, Oklahoma, you would say that they don't have much of a defense, and Alabama has a very super, you know, offense, but Alabama's defense is, you know, it's probably slightly better. Now, there were a few suspensions this past week with three Alabama starters and also also some Clemson players. How significant will this be for both teams?
You know, what makes Alabama so great is that they got that. So as the next man up, their team, you know, I don't think these suspensions will, you know, while they're important, they're not going to come to the game. Alabama's bigger than one or two players. That's just what makes Nick Saban so great. He's, you know, he's got everybody. Everybody's ready to play, whether you're the first guy off the bench or you're the starter. I don't foresee this being a huge issue. Maybe a minor distraction, but, you know, Nick Saban's too good of a coach. Been in this situation too many times. They really worry too much about this.
Let's look at Saturday's game, the Cotton Bowl Classic between Clemson number 2 against Notre Dame number 3. How do you see this game? Who's favorite, and who do you think will win?
Well, Clemson is definitely the favorite in this game. They got superb defensive talent, you know, one of the top 10 in almost every defensive category. They've been exposed a little bit against South Carolina. They were exposed in the past season, so early in the year against Texas A&M, they're a little bit exposed. I don't know, Ian Booker is, you know, the book on Booker is, you know, he works the production fake, you know, he's able to complete a lot of passes, but they don't throw the ball down the field a whole lot, and that's really what Clemson to be balanced. And I just, you know, the front four of Clemson, even though it looks like they'll have their own stuff to deal with, but when you got three other first round picks or high round picks on the defense line, I don't think there'll be an issue. You know, I don't think they played a team like Clemson all year. I do think this will be closer than the other game. You know, I think they'll be, you know, within 1.5 to 2 scores.
And there you go. Ryan predicts Clemson to beat Notre Dame. And other bowl games, I know we just talked about the playoff. Florida plays Michigan for the Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
How serious is this bowl? I've heard there's one or two players going to sit out from Michigan for this game.
Yeah, Michigan's, you know, they're you know, they've got a couple of, you know, marquee defensive players, and Hurst and Bush will not be playing, and their running back be playing in Higgins. But, you know, this is a big momentum game for the Gators. They got 9 wins this year, more than double their win total from last year. You're going to a marquee bowl game. This will say a lot for both teams, for Michigan too. You know, they got Shea Patterson, looks like he'll be coming back next year. So both teams, you know, this is a great opportunity to build for next year and get a big bowl win. It doesn't matter a whole lot, of, you know, in the grand scheme of things, no, but it puts a good exclamation point on a good year for both teams. And I think it'll be a highly competitive game that comes under the wire. But with so many missing players from Michigan, it's probably more important for Florida bet to capitalize and win this game.
How do you see, like, how would you rate Florida's season this past season?
Highly successful. Remember, they only won 4 games last year in Santiago. Had a coach fired in the middle of the year. There's a lot of turmoil. The coaches, you know, it's kind of cliche. You hear a lot of coaches just say they want to change their culture. They want to change their culture, and they come in. But Dan Mullen has a, you know, he brought a matter of consistency to both sides of the ball. You know, it's just, they're just like a different team. They look, you know, they look more well-prepared. The quarterback play has been a lot better. You know, is there a finished product? Absolutely not. You know, they need to can put a couple more pieces around on offense, but they're definitely better today than they were last year. And they just look like they're going places. Even when they went to the SEC Championship on Jim McElwain, it didn't look like they were going places. They were just more of a product of how bad the SEC East was at that time than them being a good team. But they definitely have in the direction. Compared to where Miami and Florida State are this year, they definitely won, you know, won between those big three. It definitely would have been interesting to see them play UCF and the Peach Bowl. It would have been nice, but just the way, you know, it happened that heading out to the desert to play LSU.
How did you think they did during their recruiting this past year?
Daniel's never been a guy that's gonna, you know, be full of blue chippers and being the top 10. He definitely picks and chooses what he needs, and he's a great developer, and he's got a lot of coaches that develop talent. Under Urban Meyer, Florida always won the recruiting day. Fans love it because they won recruiting day, and then they went on the field. I.e. Nick Saban. But under Dan Mullen with Mississippi State, you know, they definitely filled the void, not with huge recruits, but with the right players. And that's what he's going to do with Florida, but he's got to be able, you know, he's got more access to better players at Florida than he did at Mississippi State. So his recruiting will go up. This year, you know, they're in the middle of the pack. You're never going to see Dan Mullen's team being in the top 5. You may see them crack the top 10. But they were in on a lot of the great players. They just came up short on a couple of them. But it definitely wasn't a bad recruiting class because they definitely filled some necessary holes. But, you know, did we find the next star on that team? I'm not quite sure. Time will tell. And that's such a, you know, no one really wins and loses games under recruiting today. It's more about, you know, fans getting excited for potential.
Yeah. According to 247 Sports, they got Jacob Copeland, which he's a 4-star player. Richard Garage, 4-star. Pretty much most of them are 4-stars. Emory Jones, which, and also got Justin Watkins.
That's actually last year's recruiting class.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got the wrong gear. Let me fix that up here. But it's something that, you know, Florida is definitely preparing that. I got the right ones. I got Keon Zipper. We got Tyron Hopper, Mohamed Dabadi, Dayavi Hammond, Lloyd Summerall, Naquin Wright, Jalen Humphreys, Jaden Hill. So we got a few commits that I think they range from the 3-star to 4-stars. So we'll see what happens with Florida. Will we see Florida back in the Tim Tebow days?
Not right now. Not next year. Maybe the year after. But they're still filling pieces up. You know, they're still changing things around. I think the development of next year is that you go head-to-head with Georgia. You compete to the very end in that game.
Right.
You know, you win 9 games in regular season. I don't know if they get to 10 wins in regular season next year. You know, a little tougher schedule. But, you know, a 4-1 game, you know, I think most Florida fans are circling that, you know, that first week of the season in Orlando this next year against Miami. That'll really be interesting to see, you know, which, you know, they don't play Miami every year very much, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how each school is going to do for the rest of the year and that, how that game will kind of jump start each season, each team season.
And according to 247 Sports, Florida was ranked number 17 in the composite team rankings for the 2019 recruiting season. So, you know, it's definitely in the top 20. We'll see what happens, but Georgia is the SEC East favorite, you know, and maybe for the next couple of years. So we'll see if Florida can could challenge them, which I think they could, and we'll see what happens. We'll look at the other games that will also happen this weekend, and let's see what you think about it. Stanford versus Pittsburgh for the Sun Bowl.
I know Bryce Love is playing for Stanford. I really think Stanford is going to play this year, but so I'm thinking they're going to end this season on a good note. I'm going to think Stanford is going to be the better team in this game.
How about Michigan State versus Oregon for the Red Box Bowl?
What a great bowl game. You know, this is one of those games that, you know, both teams, you know, had desire to play in bigger and better bowls this year. You know, they slipped up towards the middle of the season. I'm going to go, since they're playing a little closer to home, and momentum that we got news that Justin Herbert's coming back from this year, I think Oregon will win this game, and it'll be a good game, you know, against a good Michigan State team.
Washington versus Ohio State at the Rose Bowl game.
I think Murray's last game, I don't see them losing this game. I think they're going to really cover and put Washington the woodshed and run Urban Meyer out on the right foot.
Sugar Bowl, Texas versus Georgia.
You know, good to see Texas back. They had a good season. Second place in the Big 12, but Georgia is, they're probably a little bit mad at, you know, Georgia's either going to play well because they're mad over how the SEC championship ended, or they're bitter over how the SEC championship ended, and they're not going to show up. I think Kirby Smart's too good of a coach, and I think they're going to show up, and they're gonna ring into the Longhorns all night.
Yeah, it's gonna be a couple of good games after outside the college football playoffs, but obviously we'll be paying attention to the playoffs a little closer to determine who is the finalist for the college football championship. Let's go switch to the NFL. As you can say, there's a few teams still vying for the last spot. The biggest game this weekend is the Tennessee Titans at the Colts. How do you see that game? We know that we've heard Mariota is not 100% and he may not even start. So you think the Colts have a good shot?
Well, if Mariota doesn't play, I think the Colts win big. This is pretty much a playoff game. It's a winner takes all. Winner goes in, losers not in. Federal Colts, I just think that hopefully it'll be a good game, Sunday night game, good way to close out the regular season. It's kind of all you can ask for NBC, I guess. So two teams that have been playing well, you know, and it's the goodness, you know, you're looking for any team that's, you know, not playing well in the season other than the Steelers. Really turning up the fine for the last couple of spots.
Has this been a good comeback season for Andrew Luck?
Oh, great comeback season. You know, even with this season, they started, you know what, you know, 2-4, 2-5, something along that line, you know, to be where they are right now. Other than one really bad week against the Jaguars, the team has been, you know, tearing it up lately. As good as G. Andrew Luck, he's a great quarterback. You know, good guy, you know, got all the intangibles, you know, was living a couple of years ago, and then those neck injuries, and, you know, really just put it a hole, and really scary to see if he ever be able to come back from this. So it's good to see him playing well, and really, you know, just really nice to see him playing well, I guess, you know, and he's got this team going in the right direction.
You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers still have a shot, but the Steelers had to depend on the Colts and the Titans to tie. That's the only way for them to make it.
Well, that's the only way for them to get a wild card. They can win the division, actually. If they win and the Browns end up beating the Ravens, and they would end up winning the division over the Ravens. So it's really funny, you know, the Steelers and Browns are huge rivals, but the Steelers are actually going to depend on the Browns to get in the playoffs, which is kind of ironic. But so, yes, the Steelers' chances of making
Ryan, you're still there. Hello?
Oh, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Here.
Obviously, the Steelers are definitely in contention. The Browns have been having a great season. Do you think the Browns are the team of the future?
Yeah, you know, we just got to decide to see where they're headed in the way of the head coach. They're going up to earn the permanent head coaching job, or are they going to go elsewhere? You know, they got their quarterback, Baker Mayfield probably should be Rookie of the Year the way he played the last little bit. You know, really, the fact that the Browns were in the playoff contention in, you know, week 16 says a lot about how this, you know, the team has turned around. I mean, considering they, you know, lost, what, 31 of the last 32 games going into this year. So, you know, kudos to Greg Williams for, even if he doesn't get the head coaching job, you know, really turning around this team and franchise.
Very well. So, NFC, interesting situation there. The Eagles can still make it only if the Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. What are the chances for the Eagles to make it into the playoffs?
Not great. You know, again, you're depending on yes, the Bears are better than the Vikings, but remember, the Bears really have nothing to play for. So, you know, how long are all their starters going to play?
Aren't they going to play for, like, a seeding position?
Not really. Not really known too much. They're kind of, you know. But, you know, I think that, you know, the Bears, you know, because they're such a young team and haven't been there before, I think they're going to play this game full out and take their chance of injury, because there's too many, you know, too much inexperience to give, you know, your team a week off, and, you know, the NFL is all about staying in rhythm, you know, and if they're going to have another week off because of a bye, you know, that's just, I think they go out and they, you know, they compete with the Vikings. I just think the Vikings got too much to play for, too much talent not to go to the playoffs. So
yeah.
I do think the Eagles will be excited. But, again, Nick Foles, end of the year, it seems like he's playing for a big contract next year for another team.
What's his fate? I mean, obviously, if he doesn't make it to the playoffs, or if he does, do you think he'll stay with the Eagles with a bigger contract, or do you think he'll go to a team like Jacksonville or Miami that need a better quarterback?
Well, here's the situation, Santiago, and to the rest of the viewers. He is under contract next year, but it's for $20 million. And if he can terminate that contract, and he's got to get $2 million back. But if, you know, the Eagles are quarterback of the future, is still and always will be Carson Wentz. And you really can't have two quarterbacks on your roster making that much money. So the Eagles are going to have to release Nick Foles, because they're not going to want to pay him that $20 million. So that's going to force, you know, Nick Foles to find another job, and I do think he will be making a lot of money.
Which team do you think will be a good fit for him?
I do think he'll find a job out in the California state of Florida, there, Santiago, either with the Jaguars.
I'm losing you. I am losing you. Are you still there, Ryan? Not a good internet connection, guys. So apologies. The stream could not have kind of going live because our poor internet connection for some reason. I don't know if the holiday slump, but hopefully we'll get that corrected for the other shows. Call me back, Ryan, see if he picks up again because we want him to finish his thoughts over Nick Foles, NFL, and also we'll talk about a little bit about NBA. Because this is the
have reached
list.
The voicemail box of 5-8
one more time. But yeah, it's definitely one of the things about sports during the holiday season is so much going on. So we'll see. We'll see how.
Ryan, hey Diego, sorry about that.
It's okay. It's okay. We've been having a bad connection. So let's finish your thought. Where do you think Nick Foles might go next year?
I definitely think he's going to end up in your state of Florida there, Santiago, with either the Jaguars, the Dolphins. Both teams, I think, ready-made to go to the playoffs. They got, you know, good personnel around them. You know, Jaguars literally should have been in the Super Bowl last year if they closed out the game against the Patriots. And they end up, you know, going from that to, you know, winning four games this year. I think it's going to cost Doug Marrone his job. And I think they're going to bring in Nick Foles. But either the Dolphins, too. You know, Ryan Tannehill did not have a great year when he was back there. He's been inconsistent pretty much all the time he's been the quarterback of the Dolphins. So, yeah, I think it's either going to cost Ryan Gase his job or Ryan Tannehill.
I have been hearing about, you know, cleaning house a little bit on the front office and also the coaching. Adam Gase, even though he got here a couple years ago and, you know, he's a young coach, but just hasn't panned out, and it's kind of disappointing for us Dolphin fans, but also Tannehill has been disappointed as well. So if we get the whole bundle change, I think it would not be a bad idea to do that. Brady says he can play beyond 2019. Do you think he can?
Yeah, I never doubt Tom Brady, Santiago.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you know, he's got a good team around him. As long as he stays healthy, I think the Patriots are going to move forward towards more of a definitely a run-first team. If you saw it, I feel like they were foreshadowing the future last week against the Bills. You know, they basically, you know, Tom Brady is basically ineffective, so basically they had to go to the running game. I think they're going to have to spend some money against a quality wide receiver out there. Obviously, Josh Gordon was great while he was out there, but, you know, without him there, Gronkowski's not the same player. You know, too many hits, you know, knee issues. You know, they're kind of in flux a little bit. You know, I'd like to see them if they want to be successful. Build around Sony Michel, the running back. You know, keep putting money into the offense line, and you know, definitely go get yourself a go-to wide receiver. And that kind of formula will keep Tom Brady at least in the league for 2 to 3 more years.
I totally agree. So we'll see what happens. I think they should probably draft a quarterback next year to start grooming him for the future. Once Tom Brady leaves, and you know, he'll be ready. Maybe Justin Herbert, perhaps.
Well, Justin Herbert won't be in next year's draft, but the draft after
2 years,
maybe.
Sorry.
That's okay. I don't know. Obviously, the Patriots have their quarterback of the future with Jimmy Garoppolo, but, you know, they got a lot in return for him, so they had to, you know, kind of send him off. So, obviously, they don't have that quarterback right now. They're on their roster. They got Brian Hoyer, and then they also got quarterback from LSU, what's his name, Danny Atling. It's a third stringer who will probably be kind of a career backup, you know, I think, but that's a guy to be Tom Brady's future quarterback, or future replacement. Anything's on the board, Santiago, for sure.
We'll see what happens with the New England Patriots in their future, but they are favorites in the AFC right now, so we'll see how deep they can go in this playoff run. Last night, the Lakers defeated the Golden State Warriors 127-101. LeBron James had 17 points. He left the game early for a groin injury, but are the Lakers the real deal?
I don't know what we learned more about. Is the Lakers the real deal, or the Warriors tired of playing regular season basketball? I guess I definitely think the Warriors are something to worry about once it comes to playoffs, but they just look disinterested, which is surprising. And I know the regular season can be a grind, and it's tough to show up every day, but when you get to play a marquee game on Christmas night against LeBron James, you show up, and it's just, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher that at a night like that, the Warriors really played very poorly. But, you know, the biggest storyline even for that is, you know, the health of LeBron James. All tests are come back positive for him, and he looks like he'll be maybe out a game or two, but nothing to worry about as Laker fans.
Exactly. I think the Lakers are definitely have a good team. They're fourth in the West, though the West, do you think the West is weak this year and the East is looking good, or it's just a off year because the Rockets and the Spurs are kind of phasing out?
The Spurs are hanging in there. I just think the West is top heavy, you know, with some great teams, but there's not a lot of bad teams in the West. There's a lot of bad teams in the Eastern Conference, Santiago. before we move on, I just want to, I mean, how good is LeBron James, though, Santiago, to turn around this Lakers team?
I mean, if he does it in his first season, he has to be one of the best. I mean, potentially, they could be a Western Conference contender.
I thought they were trying to skip, you know, skim right into the playoffs, but you know, it's so early in the season, and they could kind of, the wall could kind of, you know, go out underneath them, but, man. Just how well this team is playing, you know, and he just glues everything together, and you see how bad the Cavaliers are without him. I mean, you don't have to love the guy personally, but you got to respect the guy as a player, that's for sure.
How deep can LeBron go in the playoffs? What's your prediction as of right now?
It's hard to say how deep he can go because it's all about matchups in the playoffs. I mean, Like I said, the Warriors aren't playing with the full deck right now. Their chemistry's a little off, but, you know, it's still Christmas, and most people say NBA basketball doesn't even start until Christmas Day, until, you know, you got the five games on Christmas Day. But, so they still got time. I'm just been impressed how good the Lakers have been playing, you know, how, you know, even when he's not out there, LeBron James, they just play with a sense of confidence as if he's out there. I was just very, very impressed with this team so far, and definitely impressed with the way they played last night.
I think it was too
early to tell, you know, to see how far they could go.
Yeah, besides playoffs, I think, besides the ESPN highlights that I see from the Lakers, this was my first game that I saw a whole game with the Lakers, and you're right, Lakers look great. I think Lonzo Ball was definitely one of the best, the best players in that team. Kyle Kuzma is doing fantastic, and Ivica Zubac is doing well.
Rondo was great.
Rondo as well.
The team will go as far as LeBron James takes them, and as far as balance they can stay with Rondo with Ball. Both of them are superior defensive players, I think. You know, I think that was one of the things that Lonzo Ball was one of his weaknesses coming in. I think just being around LeBron James, I guess he's just, you know, very few players in the NBA can go, court, end line with other point guards. But I feel like Rondo and Ball, you know, I don't think as a team the Lakers are a great defensive team, but if they can get, you know, if you can get good defensive play from your point guard, you can get, you know, good interior, you know, that's why they bring in Tyson Chandler. They got enough pieces around them to make important stops in the, you know, close games, and that's all you can ask for, really. You know, you got a finisher in LeBron James offensively, and then you got closers defensively, Chandler and Stevenson and Ball and Rondo. You know, There's times where the Lakers teams will put out lineups that, you know, are terribly defensively because they're trying to outscore you, and that's all right. But, you know, when the time comes in the fourth quarter, I think they can definitely put out great defensive lines.
And for the Eastern Conference, do you think the Raptors are the best team in the East?
I have been extremely impressed with this Raptors team. I think even if you ask most NBA experts while they watch the Raptors the last couple of years, and this is nothing against DeMar DeRozan because I think he's a heck of a player. It just seems like there was something missing from this Raptors team. And I think Dwayne Jones is a great coach because he got him, you know, so many wins in the regular season. And that doesn't, you know, nothing against him and nothing against DeMar DeRozan. But it just seems like they've just gone to a different level with Leonard in there. Does, you know, is that just me or is that you, Santiago? Do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely really surprised. I was not a fan of Kawhi Leonard. I didn't think that he was a good player, but now he's convinced me that he is a great player. Just like LeBron. Obviously, LeBron, I knew he was a great player, but once you go into a Laker team that's pretty rookie-based, you know, very, very young and able to turn things around, that was a good investment.
I guess I've been impressed because I look at Kawhi Leonard and this guy, most people said, you know, he came in Toronto with one foot out his door, and basically meaning that he was just going to get through this year, and he obviously wanted to move on. And he most likely will still move on from Toronto. But, and kind of people, it was interesting because if you talked about the character of people, you know, quiet, you know, when he was in San Antonio the first couple of years, just quiet, you know, just go out and do your job, and all of a sudden, you know, people are kind of challenging his character. You know, is he purposely sitting out games because he's, you know, doesn't like the management or Coach Popovich in San Antonio? So basically, they forced them to trade him this year. And, you know, and I'm looking at this, you know, and he's coming to Toronto. Toronto's rolling his big dice because they're sending out their best player, DeMar DeRozan, to get another player. Obviously, you know, it's turning out great, you know. Are they going to go to the finals?
They could.
Because I think they got Kawhi could be that player who takes them to the next level for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, like teams like the Sixers and Celtics that were favorite, you know, to be in the top two positions are not. Right now they're in fourth and fifth. Obviously still, you know, things could turn around between now and March. So,
you know, San Diego, that's very interesting because literally in the Eastern Conference, you know, you've got five teams really now. You got the Raptors, you got the Sixers, you got the Celtics, and you got the Bucks, right?
And the Pacers.
You know, Victor Oladipo, you know, continues to do a great job with that team, but I have a hard time thinking that they're going to beat, you know, the likes of those other teams, but they, McMillan's a great coach. He's getting a lot out of the team. But, you know, I still think it's, to me, the two best teams right now are the Bucks and the Raptors because their best players are playing the best right.
Yep, the Greek Freak is definitely making a huge pounce this season. So we'll see if he's going to be great, you know, by going deep in the playoffs, maybe being in the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see how things are panning out.
I was talking to my wife, who really doesn't follow too much NBA basketball, and she was asking me a question about this guy with this ridiculously long last name yesterday while we were playing, and I was like, if this guy was playing in any other city, and we're talking about, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Milwaukee Bucks, a.k.a. the Greek Freak. I said, if this guy was playing in any other city than Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he would be a household name. This guy is LeBron-ish, Santiago. Yeah. He can take over a game. He can get the ball. You know, he's still a really young kid, you know. I would just like to see them, you know, at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think it'll just be fun to watch this guy play a lot of playoff basketball this year.
Yeah. It's going to be like the Eastern Conference is more exciting, it feels like. But, you know, there's also arguments about the West now that LeBron's in it. So even the Sacramento Kings are eighth.
The problem with the Eastern Conference, Santiago, is that you're going to look at a six, seven, eight team that is, or probably going to be below 500 if things are continues to go the way they're going. And it's just not a good look, you know, for the balance of power, you know.
Totally understand the situation of the East. It just fluctuates. You know, you'll see the Heat, like the Miami Heat, at number 7, but then they're like number 12 like the next week. It's just how things really fluctuate in the NBA.
The teams are very, very close in record, but you're talking about below 500. You're not even talking about, you know, close. Like, the West are close, but they're all above 500 when you're talking 7th or 10th, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not a good look for the Eastern Conference. It's kind of been the same story, you know, for years. Yes, there's good teams in the Eastern Conference, but they're not. It's definitely top heavy, and it takes a lot more. And that's how good the Warriors have been, that they, you know, they've been able to go through that Western Conference time after time when it, you know, it has been easy, aka last year against the Rockets. You know. The depth of the Western Conference is going to get, and I say this now, in the end of December when we talked about this in April, is that there's going to be 2 or 3 good teams in the Western Conference that aren't going to make a playoff. And you're going to have 2 or 3 bad teams in the Eastern Conference make the playoffs. That's the difference.
Well, Ryan, you are our NBA commentator here in the Sportscast. You cover all sports, but NBA is definitely one of your best subjects to cover. So we'll definitely, you'll definitely be more louder in the upcoming months of the NBA season. Are you ready for game predictions?
Yeah, well, it's an exciting time. I know a lot of people, once the NFL playoffs kind of wind down, you know, people will really be getting into NBA, but at that point, you know, we're halfway through the year, more than halfway through the year in February. Games in October mean just as much as they do in April, just because no one's as many people watching it. But
yeah, and also, you know, college basketball too as well. You definitely will cover that closely when it gets closer to March.
You know, things are definitely heating up in that side. Just you know, as the calendar turns into new year, conference basketball starts for every conference. It's a different game, you know. Just like college football at the beginning of the season, you got these unique out-of-conference matchups that are fun. But then, you know, like football, basketball is made for those conferences, those, you know, rivalries, the teams that you get up to play each and every year. You know, that's what's exciting for college basketball fans, you know. That's what we enjoy, at least in January and February, you know. Do the games actually mean as much? No, but because a lot of teams make those, you know, tournament. But for the teams that are maybe outside looking in, the conference season is definitely a way to improve your resume and get those big victories.
Exactly. Of course, you know, right now we're looking, you know, we're definitely microscoping more football, and which will lead us to game predictions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go for a wild card here. LSU, UCF for the Fiesta Bowl.
Can you go against UCF San Diego? I don't think so. LSU, like a lot of teams in bowl games, are missing a couple of marquee players. I think UCF, as long as they keep motivated, because you don't want to be that guy that loses, the team that loses a game for UCF. I think in another hardball game against an SEC team, I think they come out on top.
Kentucky versus Penn State for the Citrus Bowl.
Definitely a good matchup for the Citrus Bowl. Good to see Kentucky playing marquee football here on January 1st. Penn State, Chase McSorley's last game, I just don't see them losing. Nittany Lions roll with this, I think, by 10 points or so.
Holiday Bowl, Northwestern versus Utah.
Two of the better coaches in college football, Coach Willingham and Fitzgerald, two coaches that get the most out of their teams each and every year. Low scoring, probably ugly football, but I'm going to go with Northwestern.
Alamo Bowl, Iowa State versus Washington State.
Fun game, San Diego. I'm going to go with the Pirates and the Blues, and with Washington State winning this game.
Washington State wins. Let's go for Texas-Georgia Sugar Bowl.
I think I said before, I'm going to go with Georgia in this game.
Washington versus Ohio State at the Rose Bowl.
Ohio State.
Let's go into the college playoffs. Notre Dame versus Clemson at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Pretty close game. I just can't go against the Tigers. They got too much talent. Tigers, five out of touchdown.
Orange Bowl, Oklahoma versus Almighty Alabama.
Alabama pick.
Alabama does it. What's the score line there?
Alabama by 14. I'd say probably 52-38. I'm not going to joke. A lot of points in Diego. A lot of points.
Yeah, I predict Alabama scoring 40 points, maybe upper 40s, so definitely close to your prediction.
This is how I see it. I see it close early. Alabama pulls away, gets up by a lot, and I think Oklahoma will score some garbage touchdowns towards the end of the game when it's all over and decided.
And do you think Kyler Murray is the deserved Heisman Trophy winner?
Absolutely, Santiago. Like I said before, that defense is poor, and not only to win this many games, but to get his team in the college football playoffs. It just is a lot of other guys. The numbers he put out are better than, Baker Mayfield, who won last year. But I think this guy should turn pro in football. I think his future is in baseball, but he definitely deserved every award he got this year.
And finally, the biggest game for Ryan, Florida versus Michigan for the Peach Bowl.
Oh, San Diego, chomp, Florida by, I think, 3 points. I'm going to say, 20-17.
It seems like Florida's more favored now that these players are sitting out for Michigan.
It's not going to help Michigan, but it definitely gives some other people some opportunities. And that's what bowl games are really for, too, You got to blend in, rewarding the players for this year, but also kind of preparing for next year's team.
That is the thing to watch out for. Which game will be the biggest game of the weekend?
I think the best game of the weekend will be Clemson and Notre Dame.
It'll be closer.
College race. Yeah, I think it'll be close. But I also, the best game, I think it'll be the weekend, and hopefully my order plays, but I think the Tennessee-Indianapolis NFL game on Sunday night, I think that's going to be the best game of the weekend.
That is, NFL does trump in that one, so we'll see. We'll see what happens on Black Monday for the NFL.
Yeah, definitely.
Who do you think will get fired?
I think Vance Joseph from the Broncos, Doug Marone from the Jaguars.
Adam Gase?
Yeah, I think those are probably the two big ones.
How about Adam Gase?
I think he keeps his job.
Okay. Yeah, it feels like a lot of the firings that were supposed to happened already. But obviously the Jacksonville one is, and also the Bronco one might be the one that people are probably going to be eyeing on if it's going to happen or not. It might very well do. So, Ryan, how can people reach you, talk to you about this weekend and the Titan game on Sunday night?
On Twitter, the Mad Dog Report 18. That's probably the best way to reach me.
There you go. Ryan Krista, the sports knowledgeable, basketball heavy, but also knows his football, and he wears his Bronco sweater for Christmas. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Absolutely. Thank you, Santiago. I love you, Mindy and Cleet. Bye-bye.